want to preach to you out of this particular line. And that is, and his father came out and began to plead with him. And his father came out and began to plead with him. You know, there's a portrait today of a father who loves his sons, who loves them, and yet is anxious for them. And he loves them so much, he's willing to debase himself and plead with them. Of course, Jesus is talking about his father. And today, as we meditate on our feast day, I want to try to give you a little bit of a vision for the year ahead. Because as this father is anxious for his sons who have drifted from him, so too our Heavenly Father is still anxious. Because some of his sons and daughters still drift far from him and are in a distant land. And some who may even be close, and even in this church today, they may be not in a distant land, but their hearts are far from him. And so today, a father who loves us and yet also pleads with us and pleads with us to bring others to this parish and to him again. So with that in mind, I want to look at three, if you will, portraits of the Father that are in today's readings. The Father is a crazy Father. He's crazy now. He's a concerned Father, and he's a considerate Father. Again, a crazy Father. Do you know that God is crazy to love you? Come on, church. He's crazy to love us. He's crazy to love me, I know that much. Thank you, Daddy God, for being a little crazy. He's crazy about you. And he's crazy to love you. He's crazy to love me. These portraits in the gospel are very strange parables. They don't make sense at the human level. And in fact, one of the aspects of most parables that Jesus talks about is that they are shocking, that they don't make sense. They're paradoxical. And to me, paradoxical means to be something that's contrary to the common way of thinking or understanding. And so these parables challenge our usual way of thinking. And he gives three parables, Jesus does, that portray that God's love for us is crazy. That he loves me for no good reason. He just loves because he is love, and that's what love does. It loves. Now, the first parable. There's a guy, a shepherd, who has 100 sheep. One of them goes off, wanders away. And Jesus says, won't the 99, won't he leave the 99 and go in search of the one? No! He won't do that. No! Maybe if it's just the next hill over, he'll take a quick look. But he's not leaving those 99. He's going to have to cut his losses. Now, there are some folks that try to figure, well, maybe there are some shepherding practices in the first century that we need to explore to explain this parable. No, don't explain it. It's dripping with irony and with paradox. The Father, though, is that kind of a shepherd who would leave 99 to go in search of you if you wandered off. Are you praying, church? But it's crazy from any human way of thinking. We cut our losses. We stay with the 99. Too bad about the one who strayed. That's our way of thinking. But it's not God's. The second parable, now most of us know more about money than shepherding, all right? Come on now. This is going to make it a little more plain. There's a woman who loses a coin. The Greek text calls it a drachma, which is about a day's wages. It's about $80 to $100 in modern terms, maybe. Maybe it's a couple days' wages. For some folks, maybe a week. But it's not a lot of money. We're talking somewhere between $80 and $100. Now, if I lose a Benjamin, I'm probably going to look around for it, amen? You know. But listen, what she does then, she finds it, and then she throws a party for all her friends that cost her probably $500. That's crazy! Are you praying with me? You lose a coin, you lose some money, and then you spend three or four times as much celebrating that you found it. Are you praying with me? Do the math. Come on. Church, it's crazy, and that's just the point. God is crazy to love us. God doesn't count the cost. We do, but God doesn't. Oh, it's not worth loving them anymore. You know, in the first reading today, God's kind of calling Moses out a little. He says, I've had it with them. They're not worth loving. And Moses says, that's not the God I've met. And God says, you know what, Moses? You're right. That's not the God I am. I don't count the cost. I love no matter what it costs. The Lord is crazy to love us. And He loves us extravagantly. He loves us inordinately. He's crazy about us. And His love is crazy. Now, the next thing I want you to notice is, you know the story of the prodigal son, but you know it too well. You say, oh yeah, that story, and we're off thinking of something else. But this parable is dripping with craziness. As Jesus is telling this parable, those people from the first century probably had their jaw hanging open. Because no father would ever act like the father in this parable. A young son comes to his father and says, "Old man, you ain't dying fast enough. I want my inheritance now. Drop dead. Or if you don't have the decency to drop dead, just give it to me now. I don't want to live with you. I don't want to be under your rules. I don't love you. I want to do my thing. Give me my money." Now, church, a youngster did not talk to his father that way in that culture. That did not happen. You just didn't speak to your father that way. But the father gives it to him and lets him go. There's a mystery about our freedom. But God wants lovers, not slaves. And God is very serious about your freedom to accept Him or to reject Him. He will not force you to live in His house. And even when you reject Him, He still sends blessings. He doesn't just slay you. In the ancient world, if a son talked to his father in this way, he could report him to the town elders, and that son could be stoned to death. No son would ever speak to his father this way, but the father lets him go. Now, you know the story. This is not a story that approves of sin. This young man sinks so low that he's looking up to pigs. That's pretty low, amen? When you start admiring the food that pigs can eat, you know you've sunk pretty low, amen? Coming to his senses at last. Hallelujah, church. But back to the father. The son is coming. He's got this rehearsed speech. You know the story. The father sees him a long way off. That means he's looking for him. He didn't say, "I've disowned that son. He's all but dead for I care," and goes on and lives his life. No, he's looking every day, looking. looking. He's looking for you. He's looking for your spouse who's not here this morning. He's looking for your son or your daughter that have drifted, maybe off to a far-off land. God is looking. And then he does something that the father in the parable does something that no nobleman would ever do in the ancient world. He runs. They didn't run in the ancient world. If you were a nobleman, and this guy's a landowner, he's a nobleman, you didn't run, because that was a sign that you were either in flight, or you'd committed from an enemy, or you had convicted a crime and you're running from the police. You know, in our culture, you know, everybody's out there running, you know. Not in the ancient world. Or it was a sign that you were a slave on an errand. A nobleman would never debase himself and run. And on account of running, he had to hike up his garments, show his legs. Had to show his legs. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to say, if I were to show you my legs, that'd be pretty humiliating. All right now? Come on now, church. But again, because they all wore long garments like I'm wearing, and in order to run, you had to gird your loins. You hiked up your garments and you ran. So this nobleman is debasing himself. He's doing something that would be considered humiliating to a man of standing. He's baring his legs and he's running. This is God the Father. Jesus says, my Father is like this. He is God, the Lord of all creation. We heard beautifully proclaimed today, amen? He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. And yet he stoops. He sits high, but he looks low. And he stoops and he lets us talk back to him, and he's patient and keeps calling and keeps looking. Church, are you praying with me? This father's crazy. It's not like any other father. He's a God who loves. Now, I want to move on to another part of the homily. We're going to look at the second son in a little more detail. But just a quick review, though. The second son, although he hasn't gone to a far-off land, do you hear how disrespectfully he speaks to his father? He says, look, all these years I've slaved for you, and I never disobeyed one of your rules. You never even gave me a kid goat. The father lets him go on. And the text says he's pleading with that son to come into the party. Church, do you see how patient God is with us? We've all done what these sons do to one degree or another. We've gone off to a distant land. We've sunk mighty low. Or maybe we stayed in God's house, but we were kind of like, you know, I didn't get everything I want. Peel me a grape. Got the attitude thing going on. And listen to this line again. To that second son, it says, the father came out of the feast and began to plead with his son to come into the feast. No ancient father did that. But God the Father is willing to get on his knees and plead with you. Please come to me. Come to the feast. I love you. Come. The son says, all these years I've slaved and you never gave me a kid goat to celebrate with my friends. Church, pay attention now. The goal in life is not to celebrate with your friends. The goal in life is to celebrate with the Father. And too many people miss that. I want the car, I want the house, I want the good health, I want a lot of friends, and that's not the goal in life. The goal in life is to know the Father and to go one day and spend all eternity thanking and praising Him. So church, today I want to first of all present to you a father who is crazy. Crazy about you, and crazy about me, crazy to love us, but crazy about us. And His love at some level doesn't make any sense at all. We are hard to love. He said, maybe you, Father, not me. No, I see. We're hard to love. Church, do you know what a migraine headache we give God every day? The Lord said to Moses how the stiff-necked we can be. He also said to Jeremiah, I'm sending it to a people. They're my people, but I want you to know, they got necks of iron and foreheads of brass. Stiff-necked and thick-headed. See? Church, I got news for you. That's us. You say, no, not me, Father. I'm not like so-and-so. Listen. Do you know how holy God is? It's hard to deal with us. His love for us is deep, it's rich, it's abiding, but from a worldly point of view, it makes no sense at all. We have a Father who's crazy about us. Someone just say, crazy.
Crazy.
I just can't resist. Crazy. Sorry. Some of the older folks know the song, all right. He's a crazy Father. But listen, church, now this is where I want to, this is our feast day. And I also want to present to you a Father who's deeply concerned. This Father, we've already seen, is deeply concerned about both his sons. They don't deserve his concern, but he is. He's deeply concerned. First of all, he's concerned about every one of us in this church. Because he knows that our hearts are wayward. He knows that we're prone to being stubborn, stiff-necked, and sinful. But listen, this is a Father who is concerned in particular about two sons. But since this is all of us, this is a Father who's concerned about his son and his daughter. And there are sons and daughters of God who are not here this morning. And God is deeply concerned about them. And he's looking, waiting, hoping. There's another son who's maybe near at hand, but his heart is far. And the Father is deeply concerned about every son, about every daughter that he has. And our mission as a parish is to share his concern for every man, woman, and child he has created, for every son, for every daughter that he has. He's concerned, he's looking, he's calling, he's summoning, and he's asking us as a parish to share his concern. First of all, for ourselves. You are a concern of God. He cares about what you're doing. He may understand and be patient with our struggle for sin, but he knows what it does to us. He's concerned. He's concerned that you're here every Sunday. He's concerned to feed you with his word and with his body and his blood. He's concerned about you, and he wants you to find your way home. He respects your freedom, but he's concerned for all of us. He loves us, and we are a concern of his. He's also deeply concerned about sons and daughters of his who do not make it to his house on Sunday, who are not praying, who are not receiving the sacraments, who are not reading his word and being fed by him. He's concerned about those who are locked in serious and unrepented sin, who are sinking so low that they have to look up to pigs. He's concerned, and he wants us to share his concern. Part of my hope then today is simply to give you this vision for the year ahead. Our main job, and we've talked about it through the years, and I've been with you and we've talked a lot about our need to evangelize, to go out and bring every man, woman, and child to the Lord so that he can minister to them and he can love them and bring them home to heaven one day. And he's asking us to have concern. There are people you left at home today, and you've tried to get them to come. And the Lord is saying, will you keep trying? Will you be my voice? Will you be my eyes? Looking, longing, yearning, waiting. Will you do that for me? I'm concerned about your spouse who doesn't come, who doesn't think he or she needs to come. I'm concerned about your sons and your daughters who say, I don't need all that old church stuff. I'm concerned. I'm concerned that they're not praying. I'm concerned that I can't feed them with my son's body and blood. I love them. I want to feed them. I'm concerned for them. And so part of our vision going again is to refocus again on evangelization, to refocus. Now, the father in dealing with the second son, I want to focus on the second son because that's most of us. We're not off in a distant land. We're here this morning. But sometimes that second son, as you see, was resentful, kind of standoffish. What's this pastor going to ask me to do now? Sometimes we get a little confused. And I want to say to you that regarding our parish, regarding us as individuals and our parish, the father says three things to the second son. He says to him, in effect, remember. He says to him, rejoice. And he says to him, recruit. Now let's look at each of those three things. Remember, the father has this great party going on for the son who has returned. Hallelujah! And there's a great party. And the crestfallen second son is standing outside, doesn't want to go into the feast. And the father, as the title of our homily goes, and his father came out and began to plead with him. And the first thing he says to his son is, remember. You see, the son is crestfallen. He says, I don't have all these things. You don't do a party for me. I don't got all that I want. And the father says, stop. Everything I have is yours. Are you praying with me, church? The father is pleased to give you and me the kingdom. He's pleased to grant us, first of all, many blessings here, but blessings like you never imagined to come. Amen? Everything I have is yours. I've given you some foretaste. Come on, church, hasn't God been good to all of us? He's been so good. Everything I have is yours. That's another way of saying, remember this. Everything you have is His. Maybe we didn't get all the blessings we want yet. Maybe we didn't get them the way we wanted or when we wanted or in the exact proportions. Lord, I was looking for a slender body and you gave me a stout body. You know, I was looking for long hair and you gave me short, curly hair, whatever, you know. Son, daughter, everything I have is yours. I want to give you the kingdom. Church, God's been so good to us already. And church, we don't know how good He's going to be to us. Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard. It has not dawned on us. Our minds can't even conceive of the blessings that are waiting for us. And the Father says, remember, all that I have is yours. It's all yours. And he says, therefore, remember, remember. And I've told you again, and I'm going to keep hammering away at this word, because it's the key word for this year, remember. What does it mean to remember? And I hope some of you could recite it with me right now. To remember means to have so present in my mind and my heart what God has done for me so that I'm grateful and I'm different. Every day you got to go to the foot of the cross and remember what Jesus has done, what the Father has done, and what the Spirit has done for you. And to have it so present in your mind and your heart, what God has done for you, so that you're grateful. Oh, so grateful. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Did you hear St. Paul in the reading today? I just know this, says St. Paul, I was the worst of sinners. I was the chief of sinners. I killed God's people. I arranged to have some of them murdered. And God had mercy on me. and didn't dish out to me what I was dishing out to others. And he said, Paul, I love you. Come to me. Paul says, I am so grateful for what the Lord has done for me. Paul had deeply present in his mind and his heart what God had done for him. And he just said, I am so grateful. And because of that, he was different. And he trekked the world bringing people to Jesus. So the father says to the son today, please, son, remember, everything you have, I've given you. And everything I have is yours. Remember, be grateful, be different. So the first thing that the Lord says to us today, key word going forward for this year, remember. Because, you know, if you're not, how are you going to evangelize and tell people good news if you haven't experienced the good news? We need to have our heart broken open. This son has a hard heart, doesn't he? I don't like to go into your party and you haven't blessed me enough. And he's got a hard heart and it needs to break. And he needs to say, oh, thank you, Daddy God. Thank you. You've been so good to me. And because of that, gratitude floods in. Joy, and all of a sudden you start radiating joy and gratitude, and folks say, you're different. Yeah, I am. I'm grateful. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. It's the key to remembering this church, is to remember what the Lord has done for us. Now, the text goes on to say not only that we should remember, but that we should rejoice. You see, the father comes out, he's having a party, and the son doesn't want to go in. And so the father comes out and starts to plead with him. And he says to his son, who objects to the party, he says, son, we have to celebrate. We have to celebrate. Let the father tell you that. You've got to come into my feast every Sunday and celebrate with me. We have to celebrate. Oh, we have to celebrate. We have to celebrate. Please, he's pleading. Come, celebrate with me. Celebrate. Come. Rejoice. Be grateful. Be at Mass every week. So the first thing that we need to do is remember, and then we start responding by rejoicing with the Father. Oh, I can't wait to go on Sunday to church and to be there in the party and to celebrate with God. We have to celebrate. We have to. Because we're grateful, we're joyful, and we're different. I'm asking you, church, we have become a kind of a church of the dispersion. Many of you live in Fort Washington and Mitchellville. I am so grateful that you come every Sunday, but I'm going to say to you again what I've said to you before. Try your best, if this is going to be your parish, to be here every Sunday. If there are some Sundays you can't be here, I do pray, God, you're in another Catholic parish somewhere, but make sure you're in God's house every Sunday. But I'm just going to tell you, as your pastor, I need you here. I need you here in these pews, because if this community is going to be effective and is going to be able to call souls to Christ, everybody has to be at their place on the battle lines. Everybody needs to be at their position, at their post. It's sacrifice, I know. But we have to rejoice. We have to be here every Sunday. Please, I say to you, be here every Sunday. Now, I want to tell you something about a wedding feast. There's the joy of the wedding itself and the meal. But you know what? Every wedding festival also has a dance floor. Yes, it does. And we've prepared a dance floor out there on the plaza after Mass. We might even do a little dancing out there. But listen, I'm just going to tell you, part of being in the feast is engaging in the dance. And there's a lot of ministries and activities. We come, we're fed, but then comes the dance. Time to get out on the dance floor. And in God's feast, we need folks out on the dance floor. You know, you ever been to a party where nobody wanted to get out on the dance floor? And then someone, they finally do the line dance and everybody's out there, you know? Well, okay. All right, come on now. Well, God's festival, God's party, God's feast, got the food, amen? Got the food of God's word, got the food of his body and blood, but we also need some folks out on the dance floor. Yes, church, there's a lot of great stuff going on in this parish, and you will have the opportunity to go out today, and if you're not involved, if you're not out on the dance floor, to find a place on the dance floor. Yes, Lord, to find your place on the dance floor. We got some stuff that needs to happen. We got to do evangelizing. We've also got Sodality, Holy Name. We've got the Knights of Columbus. We've got different organizations, ministries, activities. We've got our choir. We've got our ushers. We've got so many folks. We got to have the dance floor. We got to have everybody out on the dance floor. He said, Pastor, you never dance when we have a party up at the school. That's right. I want to announce, though, that there was one year. The year was 1996, and I did engage in a Soul Train line. I was in the Soul Train line. You know, up and down. And... yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So I'm asking all of you to get out on the dance floor after this beautiful feast today. Get out on that dance floor and find out the dance the Lord wants you to dance. But everybody needs to be involved. You see, we have to rejoice. And rejoicing is to eat and to be fed and then get out on the dance floor. And this is a wonderful feast we have at St. Cyprian. And we have this magnificent feast at Holy Comforter. We are blessed indeed. We have a dance floor. And I want you to get out on that dance floor. Are you praying with me, church? So the Father says, we've got to dance. We've got to get out on the dance floor. So the Father says to us, look, remember. We have a concerned Father. He says, remember. And be here every Sunday. Rejoice with me. And then again, he asks us to recruit. And here at St. Cyprian, here at Holy Comforter, we've got a whole lot of neighbors now who don't go to church anywhere. And some, we've got some folks in our family that are sitting back home. And the son is sullen, and he says to his father, I don't want to go into that feast. And he says, we have to rejoice. And he says, why? That son of yours walked through your property with prostitutes and did all kinds of crazy stuff. He says, listen, that's your brother. Did you hear what the father said? He says, this son of yours, the son says. And the father says, we have to rejoice because your brother was lost and is found. Your brother, your sister, your brother. And you know, that brother returned, but some of our brothers and sisters haven't made it back yet. So I'm going to take what the Father said and I'm going to make it in the present. Your brother is dead and must come back to life again. He is lost, and he must be found. There's lost souls today, church. And the Father is saying, listen. He's pleading with us now. He's saying, I have concern for you. And I want you to remember, and I want you to rejoice. But I also need you to recruit. Because I have concern for some of your children. I'm concerned for some of your spouses. I'm concerned for some of those folks that you don't want to think that are your brother, that are out there selling crack or are out there doing prostitution or are in corporate America and are doing things with greed and corruption. I'm concerned. And guess what? You can say, they're not my brother. They're your brother. That's your brother. That's your sister. And I'm concerned, and I need you to come. And I need you to come into the festival with me. But I want you got to rejoice with your brother. He's not my brother. He's your brother. He's not my sister. That's your sister. Not her. Yes, her. Will you bring them to me? Will you? And so the Lord is saying to us today as a parish on our feast day, I'm a crazy father. But I want you to get crazy with me. And I'm a concerned father. And I want you to get concerned with me. And I want you, first of all, to remember what I've done for you. Everything I have is yours. And I want you to rejoice. We have to celebrate. And remember, there's a festival and there's a dance floor. Come rejoice with me. Build up my church so that it can be effective. And then I need you to recruit. And church, today in the bulletin, there is for you and for me this opportunity to to sign up for our evangelization walk. For 4 weeks, the end of October and into November, we're going to walk this neighborhood. And I'm asking you today to think about committing, to take that form in your bulletin, and before you leave today, fill it out. Say, I'm going to commit to all four or a certain number of those days. I'm going to, if I can't walk, I'm going to pray. I'm going to be one of the prayers. And if I can't do that, I'm going to be cooking. I'm going to be cooking the meal. So for 4 Saturdays at the end of October and into November, we're going to be walking. We're going to go into the park. We're going to go to our brother and to our sister. And we're going to say, the Father loves you and He's concerned and He wants to feed you. Would you come and go with me to my Father's house? Come and go with me. Church, will you commit to some of that? So I'm asking you, before you leave today, open your bulletin. Look at that form. If you need to take a week and pray, all right, but get it back. The Father needs us to go to work. One final thought. As we move forward, we need to make evangelization our key focus, because we've got a concerned Father who's crazy about all of us and crazy about some folks we're not so crazy about. He's crazy. But at the end of the day, this story is unfinished, isn't it? Did the son go in or didn't he? It's not finished. The story ends. You have to finish the story. You're the son, and the Father's pleading. How will you end the story? Will you enter the feast? Will you remember and become grateful and joyful? Will you rejoice, not just by coming to the feast, but getting on the dance floor? And will you recruit? Will you evangelize? Will you remember the Lord's church? You have to decide. I simply leave you with the title of the message. And the Father came out and began to plead with that son. That's you. That's me. And the Father is saying, will you finish this parable? Will you enter the feast, remembering, joyful and grateful, rejoicing, being fed and on the dance floor? And will you recruit? And the Father came out and began to plead with him. Amen. Thank you.